Welcome, everybody, to episode 8 of Heroes Asylum. This week, we will be discussing the Winchesters Supernatural. So, take it away, radio voice guy.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of Heroes Asylum. Thank you for downloading and subscribing. We are here this week to discuss Supernatural. That's right, Supernatural, getting ready to hit its 50th year. And we just found out last week through the news that they are, ending. So it's going to be me and my partner in crime, Thanatos Kane. We are going to be discussing that. So how you doing today, brother?
Captain, how you doing, sir?
Oh, man, you know me. I'm doing good, man. It's been a fun week. We've been busy doing stuff, getting more and more things done on our side of from behind the scenes, so to speak.
Yeah, just, random stuff, getting stuff improving on the website. Good job, by the way.
Thank you.
Trying to get our Twitter and Instagram pages updated as well. So
get the Twitter.
Just a lot of little stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Twitter, the Twits, and Instagram and all that good stuff. So, I think last week we heard the news. We are over 100 in downloads.
Yes. Big party.
There's a little flat.
Yeah, definitely party. Thank you guys out there for everybody that's been doing that. It's you guys. I know I'm a few of those, but the bulk of me is you. So the more you guys get the word out there, we're going to, just keep growing. Sky's the limit right now for us.
Yes. We're going to be like a bad cough you can't get rid of. So we're going to be there, rain, sleet, or shine.
I'm glad you went with cough instead of something else.
I was going to say something else, but I figured cough is more apropos, so.
Yes, sir. So, like I said, we're gonna go ahead and discuss the Supernatural, the Winchesters as we could call them. And but before we get doing that, our friend Thanatos Kane, he has something to take care of.
We're gonna check into the admissions ward before we talk about the Winchesters this week. So, admissions ward, of course, is where we do our news portion of the show. And this week, I picked out a couple of topics that Captain and I will discuss, of course, and you can chime in Twitter and Instagram as always. Our first topic of the week is we had our first look at Stargirl from the DC streaming service Stargirl series, which will be premiering in the fall. Captain, what'd you think of the image?
I actually, I thought I liked it. It definitely reminded me of Smallville.
Yeah.
Stargirl, you can't really change her much. I haven't seen many changes of her. She's usually pretty much they in the same the same costume, same style, even animated, when she was in the Justice League Unlimited, which was actually some of my favorite episodes. I loved when Justice League did those side characters, they followed Booster Gold, they followed Stargirl, they followed
Renegade. Is it Renegade?
The cowboy. No.
The cowboy, yeah.
Yeah, he had the cowboy in the night,
Outlaw.
But yeah, you had those, and those were always some of
the cowboy was for the night.
But those were some of my favorite episodes on Justice League. So I'm really looking forward to, because what DC seems to be doing is they're taking the small characters, the ones that weren't really that big sales wise in like comics, and they're creating a world for them and just letting these characters just go. I mean, very, very reminiscent to what James Gunn did with Guardians, But I think DC is doing that.
Yeah, look at Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol is a clear illustration of that. Exactly. I mean, DC went with Titans first. So everybody knows what the Titans is. I mean, they're kind of well known, and now they're just going like smaller and smaller. Doom Patrol, and now Stargirl, and then I think Swamp Thing is like that right in the middle of them.
Yeah,
too,
Swamp Thing is . And again, not a big, character. To work with. So I really like what DC's doing. They're not relying on their holy trinity.
No, that's good. They have a bunch of characters anyway they could flesh out, and that the streaming service is going to be their savior. I've always said that. I mean, the movies are one thing, and they're slowly but surely getting there, but the streaming service is going to be where it's at in a couple of years. I think it's going to blow up big time. I think you've seen Marvel, now Disney, they're following suit. So, You know, the Disney is just going in the right direction right now. Exactly what they need to do. They have to differentiate so far from Marvel, and the streaming service was part of that. So.
Yep. And I think, and yep. I think with the DC, I think what they're gonna hopefully, if they're smart about it, I mean, I know they've been doing their episodes here, but to do movies also would be really fun. Just these, just one offs. You know, you don't have to do a whole series. You know, if they decided to do just a movie of Swamp Thing, that would be really cool. Just a little one. I know they're planning a series, but you know, even if they just did a one off, you know, hey, just this is a history. If they did like one for Jonah Hex, you know, to kind of make up for the movie.
please, do Jonah Hex again. I beg of you.
I mean,
I think Legends of Tomorrow sort of vindicated Jonah Hex a little bit, but I really wouldn't mind a redo of Jonah Hex. So
you know, if they did that, like, a Phantom Stranger one, a Question one, they don't even have, like I said, they don't have to do a full series. They can just do a one-off movie, and it would just be fun to see what they did. Like, what was it? They don't do them anymore in the DC DC animated movies, but they always used to have those shorts, and I wish I could remember what they were called. There was a special name for them. But they had the Spectre on one. They had Green Arrow on one. They were just...
I know. I think they live on YouTube.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Green Arrow, they had one with Green Arrow in it, and yeah, there's been a couple of them.
Yeah, well, they... About 5 years ago when they were doing... I think it was 5 or 6 years ago when they were doing DC Animated Universe built... That's what they were doing. They were doing these little tiny ones beforehand. I thought those were great. And if they could just take those and put those as movies, I think that would be so much fun.
I think you could do it. I mean, you know, the budget for like a movie on the streaming service is not going to be as much as a film production. So.
No. And a lot of those characters don't have to be big. I mean, the Question is not massive. It's a detective story. You know,
you can make what do they call it? Film noir. The Question. You could do something like that. You could do it all in black and white too.
Exactly. Have that gritty side, like was it Payback with Mel Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
That the gritty film noir style that Mel Gibson had. You could do that with The Question.
And when he's talking over what he's doing, he's like, "I just walked into this room."
Yeah, man. It's almost a V for Vendetta type movie, because the actors, it's all about the voice, you know. Having somebody like, you know, Hugo Weaving in that position would be, and all you need is just a good voice actor behind that body, you know, to do the work.
Yeah, that's all you really need. I mean, the voice is going to sell it. Like you said, V for Vendetta, Hugo sold that movie with his voice alone. I don't think he wasn't even in the costume throughout the movie.
No, he was. He had been in there. Yeah. So what do you get? Well, so, sorry, yeah, we went off on a tangent just with that one little Stargirl one. So
yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, hey, that's what we do here.
That's my bad. There was another first look, by the way, too, at a upcoming animated movie. It's coming out, I believe, in the summer. It's a Batman Hush. Small little trailer, kind of eked out. I don't know if you saw this yet. Have you seen it yet?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Actually, I can't decide which one I'm more excited about, Batman Hush or Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They both dropped it this week, and I'm...
Yeah, but they're both very different.
They are. They are. I've always wanted to see an animated movie or a movie of Hush, and I can't wait to see it. But when I saw the trailer for Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I was like, nah, that's. Then I saw it. I was like, oh, I have to see this now.
It just looks ridiculous. One of the best parts of that trailer, I think, is when Raphael's talking to Batman. He's like, "Who the hell are you? You ain't trained." And he just beats up. He just beats. All of the turtles up.
Yeah. I just can't wait. Yeah, especially I watched on YouTube. They released, since they did the little clip, they have released a kind of behind the scenes of the making of Hush, and the voice.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
Is that the one you saw also, where the voice director was like, he was told, "Hey, get prepared because we're doing everybody." They have a who's who of Batman's rogue gallery will be in that, as well as, you know, with Superman and just. So it's I'm really looking forward to seeing them do that justice.
You know what? I didn't realize that Superman was in that story. I totally forgot about that.
I did too.
And he was in Hush.
I even read it last year. I reread Hush last year, and when I saw that clip, I'm like, what? Oh, that's right. He was in there.
Yeah, they literally have everybody in there. All of his robes, like you say, and they had like this scarier clip of the Scarecrow. I don't know if you saw that one where he looks with the red eyes. I thought that was kind of cool.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it was on the behind the scenes making of that too. And when they were introducing the voice class, or not class,
actors,
voice cast. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, not class. We haven't been in class in a while.
No, we got no class here.
We got no class. Maybe in a couple weeks. But they got Jason Romero. He's going to be the Batman again, and he's done a couple of the animated films.
Yeah,
he's done a solid job. He's not Kevin Conroy, but you know,
Kevin fits at certain points. Like his voice is good on certain stories. Yeah. The other actor I think does better when it's more the 52 style that they were doing there for a while. I think he fits in. You know,
that's basically what they're doing. Yeah. That new animated for DC is basically New 52.
So. Yep. Yep. So I can't wait. I am so looking like that is one of those ones I've been waiting for. They need to make up for what they did for the Killing Joke. So hopefully they correct that.
We don't talk about that. Anyway, to segue out of that one, our next topic is going to be Avengers Endgame is predicted. Mike, take a guess. How much money do you think Avengers Endgame worldwide is going to make its first weekend?
First weekend.
Worldwide, domestic, and foreign. Total. Yeah.
So I'm always bad on those bigger numbers.
I'll give you a hint. Let's just say in America it makes about $240 million, all right?
Okay.
So how much more
worldwide, I would go probably close to 500.
They're predicting it's going to make $800 million.
Wow. I can see it. I mean, the hype's there.
If it's almost 3 hours, I mean, because you're going to have to put like 3 hour movies into a theater, and you know, people can sit through 2 hour movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that extra hour. I could sit three hours for me is fine.
That extra hour, that takes some training. So all you guys out there that are planning on going to this, we suggest start watching Lord of the Rings. It's a good training one. It's a good way to get you ready for the big fight, to get your ass stiffened up and ready to sit that long. And work on your bladder.
Not bring any drinks into the theater. Nothing. I know. I learned my lesson from last time. I'm not going to bring any soda this time. That's it. I don't care if I'm thirsty.
Yeah,
I'm
I think we all ran in for Shazam. Like we didn't even stop at the kiosk.
No, I didn't know. I just went in and that's it. And I think I did have to go use the restroom once. I don't remember. But anyway.
But you know, it's going to be a tough
3
one.
Hours.
Yep. Oof. I can't.
I haven't even heard of any animations. So
yeah, it's. Last one I did think I sat through that kind of length of a movie was the Lord of the Rings. The original three, not the. I never went to see The Hobbit in the theaters.
But, you're not missing.
Well, I did. I did eventually see them. I just didn't do it in the theaters. I was just.
I like how they compare Lord of the Rings to Star Wars, and it's very almost, it's almost like it's well accepted because the original trilogy of Lord of the Rings is great. The next three, not so much.
Yeah.
Almost like the prequels were. So it's always like, it's very scary how Lord of the Rings fans and Star Wars fans kind of get compared. And, you know, they have almost that same sense. It's like the first trilogy, great. The second trilogy, eh.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. You might get some hate mail. Just saying.
You got your
prequel lovers out there. You don't want to rock that boat. they're just about as rough as the original lovers, and they're a little bit younger, so they got more fight in them. They're not as grumpy as we are for being the original series.
Hey, you kids, you don't know what that Star Wars is like. You know, no, I'm not.
Don't mess with my Vader.
That's if Vader will kill Kylo. No.
So,
but all right, let's segue out of that. So $800 million, I think it's feasible.
But yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, just think of the pre-sales. I mean, they went on sale today. So for anybody listening, today's the 31st of March. If you go online when you hear this, which will be Wednesday the 3rd, it'll be on sale already. So for like your pre-orders. So if you guys are interested, you know, jump on, get in there pretty quick. I know we're gunning for the first that Thursday.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, we might be able to cross our fingers. We might be able to drop a little quick review on that Friday.
Maybe. I hope.
I think we can do it.
Either way, we can do it. Like even if I don't make it to that Thursday.
Yeah, we can.
I could still catch it Friday when I get off, and then you know if you're
We can figure something out, but yeah, like we'll definitely. But that for you guys out there that are wanting to go and you are interested, yeah, the tickets are on sale now.
Get them. Because
yeah,
I think
them.
It's gonna be.
That's going to sell out pretty quick. And it's really odd when we were looking at the tickets, what they had. It was, you know, the 3D IMAX. They only had like one showing that Thursday. Then they had Dolby. They had like two showings, and the one that they had that there was a lot of showings was like real 3D, which I thought was very odd. That there were a lot more on that, so we're just waiting to see which ones we're able to get our grubby little hands on. So,
well, you know, IMAX is always good for me, but if not, standard is fine.
We're definitely getting some sort of a surround sound. If not, we're going to get 3D glasses put on us. So either way, it works. So, all right. So, what do you got next?
Big fan of the AMC.
Yes, I love the AMC.
AMC is great, by the way. Let's segue out of that too. We got our first look, Mike. Our first look, although it was the back of his head or the back of his cowl, the first look at Batman in the series finale of Gotham.
Yes,
did you catch that image yet?
Yeah, I did see that image. I was the back of his head, you know, kind of okay. That one didn't get me too excited.
I mean, they showed a leaked picture, I think it was a couple weeks before, of his whole entire outfit, which looked like the one that he had in The Dark Knight Rises. But, you know, one was just like an official one that they said, you know, it's just Gotham and then the final date of the series. So.
Right. Yeah. From what I had read is that they were really, really basing it heavy on the Nolan Dark Knight series for that.
Which I kind of didn't want, you know, because if you think about it, the whole series has been kind of like cartoony, clownish almost in a way.
Right.
So I would think that they would have gone with like, you know, the original suit, maybe the Keaton suit with the yellow logo and the bat in the middle. But, you know, they went for the Nolan stuff. I get it. But, you know, I just, you know, the geek in me wanted, you know, like a more accurate comic suit. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll wait and see what they roll out with. It'll be, you know, it'll definitely be interesting to see what they do come out with.
Oh yeah!
So, wow, it's been a heavy DC week, hasn't it? For
news. Heavy DC. Because
I was even
going to be mostly DC.
I was just perusing the news feed there because I was like, man, we're going out kind of heavy on DC and.
Oh, we had the Avengers thing.
I mean, the rest of it was primarily DC, and it's just kind of crazy. Like I said, I am going through it through our news feed real fast just to see what was on here. But you know, I did see this morning. You and I were talking about it last night about the Birds of Prey having Joker on there, and I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool if they brought Jared back, but
I don't think they are, because he's filming Morbius now, so I mean, that's going to be kind of tough.
Hey, but he's usually just, it'd most likely be just a cameo kind of thing like he did last time, so it'd be cool.
Or they'll do like a certain movie where, you know, he's there but not there, so I won't say what movie, but you know.
Yes, exactly. And then, of course, I think the other thing was a Chucky. Yeah, new release of Chucky.
You just stole my thunder.
Oh, is that, man? I am so sorry.
That was going to be the literal.
I didn't think you were going
segment. I didn't think you picked that one up.
Oh, yeah, I did. Of course.
Well, since you segued it, you know, why don't you talk?
Oh, well, Mark Hamill's
going to voice Chucky.
Well, our good old Luke Skywalker will be voicing Chucky. I'm just curious I'll be happy with it. I just don't want to hear Joker.
That's what I'm afraid of.
That's the only thing I'll be afraid of.
That's the only thing.
Because that creepy sound he can do, it's going to be Joker-y.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically going to be the Joker. I mean, I just have that feeling because, it's, you know, it's natural. I mean, he's like, hey, it's me, Chucky. It just sounds a little bit off. And he's going to put more of his Joker mannerisms in himself.
I mean, he is one of our top right now, you know, in our time, one of our top voice actors. Man. So I'm pretty sure he might have. Hopefully, he has a little surprise for us.
I hope so, because like when he played the trickster on Flash.
Yeah,
he was basically like almost like a Joker.
It was Joker-esque. Yeah, I could definitely see. Yeah, I could definitely hear Joker in there.
But that's going to be pretty wild, though.
I think when he played Cockknocker, he had a better voice then. Though. I think he needs to be using Cockknocker for Chucky.
You know what?
You know, don't mess with the Jedi Master, little boy, and you know pulls out a little cooking knife that turns into a lightsaber.
Cockknocker! Oh my God, I forgot all about that.
Come on, man! How can you forget about Cockknocker?
I just
the best.
And he's,
one
it's
of the
funny
best.
Because isn't Kevin filming the sequel or the reboot, Jay and Silent Bob reboot?
Yes, yes, yeah. Actually, now. As we speak, they're week one or two into filming, I think, right now, and he is, he is delving deep into the Viewaskew universe to pull people in. I've been keeping up with his YouTube. Like every other day, he does little. Yeah, he does like the every other day. He'll do a YouTube video about who's there at the filming, and I've seen Rosario Dawson there. His daughter is part of a chick gang, like that was in Jay and Silent Bob. He's pulling everybody out. I was surprised when I saw Rosario there. I was like, oh wow, she's okay. That's real cool.
I wonder if we see Sean Hamilton make an appearance.
There's been a lot of people that have been there.
Ben would make, Ben would reprise. I mean, I know they have beef, but they said that they talked to him. They said, he's open to it.
He's the way he's doing it. It's kind of his love letter to the fans. And I think he's reaching out to everybody. I even saw a picture, for Jason Lee for his Brody character. And he was wearing actually a Stan Lee t-shirt and, they picked up and he was picking up a Captain Marvel, comic book actually. So Kevin was saying that it was his nod back to the Marvel MCU, for putting a reference, Kevin Smith reference into Captain Marvel.
That was nice. That was one of the better parts of that movie.
Oh yeah, it was great.
Spoiler, sorry.
Guess what? We have a time frame for spoilers, and this is past the time. You've had a few weeks.
Yeah.
And it's
since the first of the month.
What's the word I'm looking for? It's not a storyline breaking, or it's not going to ruin anything. It's just, and I'm sure if you've been online, you've seen it. They've talked about it.
You've YouTubed it. You've seen it already, kids.
I thought it was so funny. I was listening to somebody, another podcast. I'm not going to say their name, but they were having a discussion about Captain Marvel and some of the things that were off about it. And that was the one complaint I heard from somebody on there where they said, that's not realistic. They would have already, if this movie took place in 1995, which is when Mallrats came out, that they would have already filmed it. So why would he be reading a script? And I was like, it annoyed me that somebody's like getting that nitpicky. It was like it's a nod to a comic book fan who has been there and has brought a lot of attention to our community and in this forum. And it's a nod to Stan Lee, who he was friends with. And I was just like, it was rude. And then, but me being me, I'm like, wait a second, hold on. And I looked up when Mallrats actually came out. Mallrats was released in October of 1995. So that would have been more than enough time, because I'm pretty sure Captain Marvel was like, it looked like it was, late summer or early summer. So that one, I wanted to find who this was that said it and like post on their page just to troll them and go, you're an idiot. This is when it was released. It could have happened.
Yeah, just tell them to shut up.
that's
way too nitpicky.
That was, yeah. I was like, this is a nod to, again, a fan who is a vocal. He's one of the vocal people for our community as, comic book
fans. Guys like that are going to give us a bad name, You can imagine, like, the old style nerd is the fat kid with the glasses in the front row. Like, that's not how it is. It's totally inaccurate.
Yeah.
It's the wrong month. Did you know Mallrats came out in February? Like, no, man. I just want to watch the movie and enjoy it. You're freaking killing me.
Yep, exactly. Oh. Yeah, that's why that was so... Anyways. But that's why I was happy when I actually looked. I was like, yeah, you can stuff it. All right. So since I stole your thunder on that one,
I got two more.
Okay. I thought you only had about
two more small ones.
Sweet.
No, I got two. I do my research, man. I know. Just messing with you. News journals. Anyway, this one you might like, and this one actually we've talked about before. Matt Ryan said he wants to appear in the Swamp Thing DC streaming service series as Constantine, which I think makes the absolute biggest sense in the world. To me, you should have Matt Ryan not only as Constantine in the DC series, but I think they should throw him in the movies as well. You could have that common thread just be him. Not even say a word. What universe is he from? Is he from Earth 35 or 56 or Earth -99? No, he's just there. He's Constantine.
He's just Constantine.
And I think he's just Constantine. That's it. It doesn't matter where he's from, what time period. He's just there. And him making an appearance on Swamp Thing, and if you watch Legends of Tomorrow, they did throw a small little nod to Swamp Thing. It was, I think it was last year when Legend was on, they threw a small thing about him knowing some guy.
I remember
like,
that.
Oh,
one,
the swamp. Yeah. He's like, nah, he's a little bit further east. So if you watch that, that was like the nod.
Was that,
I think
that,
it
that
makes
was,
total sense.
That was in the that was in his show. That wasn't in Legends, was it? That was actually in Constantine.
No, it was in Legends.
Was it in Legends? Okay. For some reason, I thought I thought he had made a reference to Swamp Thing in Constantine as well.
No, in Constantine, the only reference, well, he didn't really make a reference, was Jason Blood, and then Dr. Fate's helmet was in his house.
Okay.
That was about the only reference that I remember.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, hopefully they pick him up and do something with him. He was, I have not met anybody that has said he was horrible, that was a bad show. I just think that show was on weird at a weird time. And it is something as an outsider to this the comic book world and the television shows, you're going, oh, well, this is a DC show, and it's not, you know, I'm wearing my cape and cowl and saving somebody. It's a real, it's a different type of superhero, and I don't think a lot of people were used to that, and I think that might have been why it didn't catch on as well.
Well, it was on network TV, too, and, you know, a lot, and I hate saying this, and, you know, and if you're an older fan, you know, I love you. But, you know, a lot of the days nowadays, the network TV like NBC, CBS, Fox, they're kind of like an old fuddy-duddy network. You know, the streaming services, networks like the CW, FX, they're more of like the more – what's the word I could use? They're more like up-to-date, you know, they're more with the times.
They are, but they're, you have to realize with those, there's no boundaries for what they can do and what they can say. I don't know if you've watched it yet or not on Netflix, the Motley Crue documentary, The Dirt.
Yeah, Dirt. Great.
Okay, watch that. You saw the sex, the nudity, girls doing stuff. And you would never see that. I mean, and even to me, I'm watching it. I'm like, man, this would be like an NC-17 type of rated, you know, movie, not something Netflix that somebody can grab, because it was there was some hardcore stuff going on in there.
Lots of hardcore.
And that's one thing you have with the streaming services is they don't have to follow the FCC
regulations.
Rules. Yeah, the regulations. Yeah, they can kind of do it, and they just say, hey, this is what it's rated for. Don't let somebody watch it. Be a responsible person for your child. And I hope that DC, because DC does have some adult themed things on there. Even if you look at the DC animated universe, if nobody's watched those, if you guys are listening, you don't know, you know, you hear us mentioning them. It takes place in the comic book world, and they take some great comic book stories and story arcs, but they put an adult twist to them. So when you're watching, your kids can watch it, but some of the language is a little different. It's a little rougher than what you would expect for animated. It's geared more for
a little bit more mature themes.
It's mature audience based, and I think if the streaming services do that, they could take a Constantine or anybody for that matter and do more adult things with them. Again, I'm a fan of The Question. I'll bring him up a few times, but that is a dirty and graphic backstory to him, and you can get away with that on streaming and just not, you know, notate it as not suitable for children. Mm-hmm. And I believe DC does have a rating blocker or an age blocker on it, like some of the other streaming services do.
You know, being under the perfect series for the DC streaming service, and it's probably not going to happen this year, maybe in the next couple of years, is Sandman.
Oh yeah,
I know well, throw that on there.
They could get away with that. Who picked up? It was wasn't it Netflix that picked up Lucifer?
Yeah, yeah.
They can do that because, I mean, Lucifer and Sandman are all tied in. So with Netflix
true, but the Lucifer that they got going on Netflix now is a little bit different than the Lucifer in the Vertigo comics.
Well, but we're not going to get the same Sandman either.
No. But hopefully they'll keep, you know, at least, you know, the origin story of the Sandman correct, you know, right. Dream and all that. I mean, because it's a lot of dark stuff, weird stuff, too.
But they could do that using that show as a launching pad for that. Do make it, but show it to
the –
Yeah, I mean, too.
But I'd rather they just do it by itself.
But they could get away with it after, like I said, what I've been seeing on – with, like, The Dirt, you know. They went, you know, pretty dirty on that one, and they could do that with now that they own, you know, now that they own Lucifer, they could do that. They could take Lucifer into a different twist.
I'm still waiting for season four to, you know, they said it was going to pop on this year, and we're already in March, and I haven't heard anything.
Well,
Have you heard anything about it?
Not yet. Most likely, I mean, they're going from one group to another, so you probably have a lot of transferring things that are going on, so you know the rights and everything. So there probably is a lag because of lawyers, so to speak.
Yeah, because I know it was only supposed to be 10 episodes, and I think they started filming last year, and I don't know. Hopefully, it'll come out pretty soon. I'm guessing it's probably going to be around the fall. So Netflix is also known
for not going, hey, you know, we got something coming in 6 months. They just tell you, hey, next month we're dropping this. So we could have something in May. Yeah. I mean, we could have something in May. They always do their monthly emails, you know, at the end of the month saying, okay, this is dropping on this date and this one's going away and, you know, or so on and so forth. So we'll probably have an email or something. And they've never been ones for fanfare to go, hey, we got this coming. Look at what we're doing. It's just, hey, by the way, there it is. They did that with one of my favorite comedy shows was Arrested Development. You know, it tanked horribly. I mean, it went for a couple of seasons on Fox, and then Netflix picked it up, and it's like, it's big. It's on like seven seasons now.
Is it? Yeah, I think I saw the last new season they had on Netflix. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't like...
It's a special type of humor. You have to really.
It's definitely an acquired taste. You have to like either get it.
Or yeah, but that's what I like, and I could see Netflix doing with Lucifer, picking it up, changing it just a bit, but giving it that edge that we're wanting, and then I could see Sandman being introduced because of that edge.
I hope so. So we'll see.
All righty. So off on another tangent.
One last bit. Yeah. Well, we're always.
That's fine. That's what we're here for.
The way it is.
Just buckle up and hold on, folks. So go ahead, man. Sorry.
Get your seatbelts and everything. Our last bit of news for the week is our buddy, your buddy, and my buddy, Zack Snyder. He was interviewed, I believe, a week ago when he was he was rolling out some of his films, and a couple fans were asking his questions. You know, how come his Batman was a murderous Batman? And he kind of responded is, you know, get with the program, pretty much. This is what it is. This is my Batman. And you know, you need to wake up. We've had many discussions of The Dark Knight over the years, Mike. My version of Batman has always been the gritty, angry, brooding, but yet intelligent, non-murderous Batman. Like, The Dark Knight Returns famously, you know, he hurts people, but his inner monologue was all about, you know, basically saying, you know, 36 bones, if I break it this way, you know, he's not going to be able to walk for a week, but he'll still be alive.
Right, and also...
Zack Snyder just flat out said, you know, he's like, oh, you know, he's just going to be murdering people. Yeah. So I'm like...
No, that's... Yeah, I when I saw that, I was like... I had a small flashback back to the 90s, and I don't know if you remember when this happened. William Shatner made the comment to Star Trek fans to get a life.
Oh, I do.
And in this reaction to what Zach's saying reminds me very much of that. Like, yeah, we understand what you're trying to say, but you don't mess with our fandom. That's you have to understand that that's in place for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of goes to the one guy on YouTube that you and I listen to, Young Rippa, his take, and something I wholeheartedly believe in is the culturalizations of certain characters. You know, that's, yes, my Batman doesn't kill, and my Batman is not an African American. He's Bruce Wayne. He's white. He's that way for a reason.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that's the same thing that kind of taking Zach, you know, what Zach said is, well, no, I'm just, no, that he's, it, it's the real world. He can kill. Like, no, he can't. Even me as a Superman fan, I had issues with Superman doing what he did. I understood what he did in the story. I understood that it had meaning to it. But yeah, that wasn't my Superman that I grew up with. But again, Superman's never really had that rule, though. That was one thing I remember when that came out. Everybody, you know, lost their shit. They're going, oh, he doesn't know. I go, no. He has to control himself because he knows he can do it in an instant against somebody. And now he's fighting somebody that's at the same level. he has to like go a little dirtier. So, but yeah, I agree with a lot of people out there.
And the whole point everybody makes about that too is like, you know, I think we've talked about this before. Let's say he doesn't kill Zod. Okay, what do you do with him?
Yeah. Where do you lock him away at?
Where do you lock him away? He can escape any prison in the world. No matter what, he's going to keep coming back. So you had he literally had no choice.
Yep. Yeah. One choice. I mean, and when you look
and
at
there
the
was no kryptonite found.
Right. I mean, if you look at the history of Batman, that is one of the dichotomies of him is he is constantly taking these villains and putting them back in. That was one of the biggest things with Jason Todd. When Jason Todd returned, was you didn't kill him. You didn't, you know, I understand that you're not killing the Penguin or Two-Face, but the Joker, you didn't kill him after what he did to me. And it's because of what he did to me, you should have done it.
Yeah, that, and it's there's
Batman's.
The
yeah, and it's Batman's
Batman
going
right
no.
There is the Red Hood.
And that's the thing. And that's Batman is that way. And it's, Zach is wrong. Sorry if for anybody that's out there that's the Zack Snyder fan. I love him as a film writer. I thought what he did to Superman and Batman and the Justice League, I enjoyed those and I liked the take on it. But yes, that wasn't my. You know, when I want my Batman or my Superman, I'll go back to the books.
Exactly. That's you know, that's the way I want Batman to be. Is like I've always told you, detective. You know, and when he's pushed to the limit, he doesn't kill. You know, that's basically why the Joker's around, because he wants to push him over the edge, but he doesn't do it. No matter what happens, yep. He will never pick up that gun. He will never shoot anybody. I mean, one of the best scenes. I think we've talked about Batman Beyond. Is the beginning of the Batman Beyond
yes.
animated series. Yep. That opening scene where he's still Batman, probably in his mid-50s. He's hunting some guy down in the warehouse. You know, he's basically having heart issues. The guy gets a jump on him. He starts beating the crap out of him, but he's having a heart attack. And you know, the only thing he could do is he picks up that gun and points the gun at the guy, and the guy runs out, and he looks at himself and the gun in horror, like, and he just leaves, and basically he says, never again. Because he's basically telling himself, and the audience right there is like, you know what? If I ever did this, then I'm not Batman anymore. And he basically closes up shop, and then the entire Batman Begins stories, Batman Beyond begins. So.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I've always liked the Batman Begins story is that moment, that one moment at the very beginning when you see him have his human moment of, oh wait, I am getting old. I can't do this anymore, and I'm about ready to do something I said I would never do. And that's why I think the Batman Beyond series became I was a big fan of, because it was something brand new. Also, it wasn't anything we could go pick up and reference in a book. It was all brand new, and it just grew from there.
Exactly. But that's all from the admissions ward.
Wow,
this week, Mr.
That was Jones. a long admissions ward.
That was a little bit of a long, but we, you know, hey. We went on a couple tangents here and there.
That's okay.
So,
that's what we're here for. So this episode, this one. So for the rest of the show, what we are going to be talking about, and because we get, like I said last week and at the beginning of the show, you know, Supernatural just announced its, you know, finale 15. Well, it will be 15 years. As of right now, it's 14 years.
That's insane.
Yeah, started September 2005 was the first airing with the Winchesters, the good old Winchesters. And I didn't catch it originally on, like, I think I picked up at season four or five. I had a friend of mine that had the seasons on box set, and where I was living at, we didn't have any cable at the time. So he let me borrow the box sets, and I devoured them. I mean, I really did. I thought they were so much fun.
Yeah, they were very X-File-ish.
Yeah.
But just more of like the urban lore and all that stuff, Monster of the Week. That was your favorite type of thing. And mine too at the beginning. I mean, I started watching it from the first season. Then I kind of dipped out because of, you know, life gets in the way, as they say. And then a couple of years later, when I was working at a retail establishment, which closed down, a friend of mine got me back into it. So I jumped back on board at the end of season 3.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I picked up what I left behind in season 2, and I've just been watching it ever since. And I think, you know, every year they've always managed to. I mean, there have been a couple seasons where it kind of languished, you know.
There were a few.
But I think season 7 is the worst.
See, I don't know. They're all a little different for me. There are, like, seasons. The later ones I like a little bit more than the earlier ones. Orange-eyed demon. Those were good as introductory. I think during the Word of God tablets series, the Men of Letters. I really like those. I don't. Maybe those are the ones you're speaking of. Okay.
No. Anything that has to do with like the overall the world and the mythology, the heaven and hell stuff, I love. Okay. I'll dig that up every year.
Well, I wasn't when sure. Go ahead.
No, when I started to like detour from that, like what I'm talking about is like basically when Crippy's, you know, 1 through 5 season arc had ended.
Right.
You know, they didn't know they were going to get picked up for season 6. Right. You know, season 5, if you look at season 5, that last episode, Swan Song.
Yeah, that was.
That's supposed to be the end of the series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I had read that.
But the fandom and, you know, the ratings were so high, they were like, no, let's come back. And I felt like after that, it took them a while to find their footing. Like season 6, you know, Solo Sam, it was okay. Season 7, I think, is the worst.
Yeah.
I cannot stand the Leviathans. I think they were the worst concept ever created.
I think they were just.
They're basically shapeshifters who could, you know, eat people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like the. The when they turned, that was probably what some of the worst special effects I saw from them was that their head, the mouth opened up.
What is the name of that plant in the Rocky Horror Picture Show? They look kind of like that.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, you're talking Little Shop of Horrors.
It's a Little Shop.
Yeah, you're talking Aubrey. Aubrey 2.
Is it Aubrey?
Yeah, Aubrey 2 was the plant. But yeah, that was I wasn't a big fan of the Leviathan ones. The orange-eyed demon, you know, killed her mom, that one. It was okay. Like I said, it was okay for real grabbing their footing. I think because they went, they left. Kripke left actually at 5. He stopped being showrunner. Yeah. Then I think it went to Singer.
Sarah Gamble. I think.
Was it Gamble? Okay, and then after Gamble, I think it was Singer. So I understand there was like some footing they had to learn to get back because now you're having a different showrunner. You have people that understand their characters. Like, they had their characters down pat, but now you have somebody new trying to flesh them out, you know, and trying to do it. So I kind of excuse the Leviathan ones. The Ruby's Knife one was good. The Searching for the Cult was okay.
Yeah, but they were searching for the cult for a long time.
That was, yeah. that was part of the Orange-Eyed Demon series was the cult, because that was going to take him out.
Actually, it did take it out. Spoilers if you haven't watched it.
Yeah, sorry guys. Netflix. Yeah, Netflix.
Netflix. Check it out.
I've been doing a supernatural binge. I have to take breaks because if I'm watching something too much, I start having it translates into my dreams. So yeah, it's not that I'm dreaming of the Winchesters. I'm dreaming of the things that they're dealing with. So
that's a different podcast.
Yeah, that doesn't, I do that with, when I also binge watch, NCIS, I start having some wacky dreams on that one too. So yeah, the Winchesters, now I do have to ask, what team are you on? You know, the girls out there, they have their teams. And I know,
you know,
a few of our listeners.
I'm not going to say I'm on any particular team. The reason I like Supernatural for the way it is, because it always – the brother dynamic reminds me of the dynamic I had with my brother, you know, because he's like 3 years younger than me.
Right.
So I've always – you know, I'm the older brother. He's a younger brother. That's kind of like one of the reasons that show was always, you know, and still is very important to me. It's a dichotomy, you know, traveling the road with your brother, killing stuff, hearing some, you know, cool tunes and – right. Just, you know, that exploration of the relationship that they always have. I mean, true, it's gotten a little redundant over the years, almost the same thing. You know, Sam does something wrong, Dean gets pissed.
That's usually when I stop watching. When I start feeling the formula again, I have to stop. I usually do 3 seasons, and then the formula gets to me. I'm like, okay, I got to stop for a second. I gotta take a break.
Yeah, you got to – I mean, I don't like those episodes. I mean, it gets like too much in the feels, but you know, and the girls love it. I mean, that's why obviously it's been around like 15 seasons, but it's that I'm not on any kind of particular team. If any team I'm on is Team Cass.
There you go. All right.
Cass is the badass. I mean, he's been through a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah, that
I mean,
poor
Jesus. I mean, they talk about the brothers. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Castiel cast out Angel. I mean, Jesus.
And honestly, if you ever watch any of the behind the scenes stuff for the show, Misha goes through some shit too as an actor with those two guys. Like they apparently put him through the ringer on Practical Jokes throughout. I guess they were
unmerciful.
There was one he about like walked off the set. It was so bad. But yeah, if anybody ever gets a chance, check out the gag reels. And that's something that one of the things that always keeps me drawing back to them is they have those episodes and they have this humor. They can be a dead serious show and they're pulling the feels on you, but they can sit there and just drop something in a moment, a look, one line that just makes you crack up going, oh my God. Cause that's what I know me personally. And I'm sure you're the same way. If you're in that kind of tension and filled environment, you gotta say a joke or do something to lighten the mood a little.
Yeah, you gotta have those moments of levity. You need it. I mean, especially for a show like that, it's kind of deep and dark and all that stuff, ghosts, spooks, and all that stuff. It's just, you need that. They have a lot of moments like that.
I mean, I think that's why I like it so much, because it does remind me of me every once in a while, because my heart attack, I had a heart attack about 7 months ago now. And my boss, I finally got out of, you know, the surgery and everything, and I hadn't really been able to call my boss and say, hey, you know, what's going on? They just knew I wasn't showing up to work. And I'm literally just in ER, my first couple of breaths, I'm waking up, I'm still groggy. And she just happens to call, and the nurse like, do you want to talk? And I'm talking to my boss, and I'm cracking her up. I'm like, yeah, don't think I'm going to be in for a few days. You know, just had this little heart attack thing. And it's just, she's, when I saw her, when I came back, she's like, why were you that way? I go, what else am I going to be? It's something that you have to go through. You have to laugh, find your humor through it. You know, it's a serious situation, but find your humor in it, because it's the only thing that's going to keep you alive.
You know what? Exactly. I mean, I went through something, you know, I won't say what it was, but you know what it is, that happened to me about last year. And, you know, my brother, when he called me up, he basically said, you know, how's it going, Scarface? I mean, to me, that just says everything. It's like, you know what? I know what you went through.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you throw that, you just need that levity, not only in like any kind of TV show, but in life itself. And life is freaking depressing as it is. But, you know, when you throw like a ringer every now and then, just to lighten the mood, because, you know,
well, that's honestly our friend. When we came out to visit you, that one of those times where I was actually going to, I meant to stop by 7-Eleven. I was going to get you a donut or something and stick a file in it, you know, just I would just draw you a hand it to you when you opened the door.
I really wish you would have done that.
I remembered it right when we got to your driveway. I was like, damn it. And she's like, what? I go, I meant to. She's like, you want? I go, no, we're here. Let's go in. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, with the show, that is those moments. I think probably one of my favorite ones is, and you have to listen for it, is when the agents, when they announce themselves as an agent.
Oh,
it's some of the best, because you have to really know, you have to be a music fan to catch some of them, for starters.
What do those things start when they, I think it was like season.
They started early.
Was it early? Because I'll tell you what, I didn't notice it for a long time.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, yeah.
I did not. Like, I was like, what are they talking about? Like, well, Adrian's singing. But then, like, after a while, when he was like, yeah, this is Agent Roth, Agent Van Halen, I'm like, oh, yeah, there okay. You go.
Hetfield and Ulrich. The one I saw the other day.
Page.
They came walking over to a crime scene, and another officer comes walking over. Oh, you guys must be Agent Spears and Aguilera. And they're like, yeah, I guess. And then they see Cass over there, and they're like, why'd you do that? He goes, I'm learning my pop culture. And I was, but yeah, that was the one of those things. It's just, again, one of those drop moments that happens that you, if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it. There was a secret character, actually. I don't know if you ever saw the secret character in almost every single show, and where that character came
Clock?
From. No, the Impala. The Impala was created by Kripke because he grew up like we did, watching Knight Rider and A-Team, and those vehicles were they were other characters in those shows, and he always remembered it, and that's what he wanted the Impala to be. That's why he chose a specific design, a specific look, a specific sound for the Impala too. So that way, when you if it's a dark screen or they're just staring down the road and you just hear it.
Oh my! There is an episode.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is an Impala episode about, I think, when John
baby. That's a great episode, by the way, if you get a chance to watch it. But I'm not even talking about that episode. There's another episode in season 5, and I think you know where I'm going because you just name dropped Knight Rider, where they kind of made the Impala into a Knight Rider-esque.
Oh yes,
Sam is turned into the Impala.
Yes,
he has the Knight and Dean's.
Oh,
driver.
That's right. I do remember that one. Yes.
Yeah. That's when they were.
Was that a Loki? Yeah, I was gonna say that's a Loki episode. Sounds like so Loki.
Yeah, the trickster Loki. You know, as we turned, he's turned out to be somebody else. But you know.
But I mean, not only that, but their supporting cast were amazing. Yeah, I mean, you had Bobby Singer.
Oh my God.
John. Wow. Cass. Yeah. Well, I mean,
if you look at Supernatural as a whole, a lot of great actors came out of there. Like,
oh, exactly.
Lauren Cohen, Walking Dead fame. She came out of there. She was Bella Talbot, if you remember that. She was the, I think she was the arms dealer for the occult.
Yes.
Season 4. What's that other guy's name? He's a black actor. He's really.
Are you talking about the one that was Bobby's partner?
No, not him. Not Rufus.
No, not Rufus. Okay.
He's another guy. This was a hunter that actually became a vampire.
Yes.
He's a big. I can't think of his name.
Yes, I remember.
Anyway, he's. I think he's in that TV show This Is Us or something, and he was in that last Predator movie. He was actually one of the better parts of that Predator movie.
I like the Predator movie. I thought it was fun. Just everybody that you saw in there, the girl that played Charlie, was it Emily Day, I think is her name.
Felicia Day.
Thank you.
Felicia Day.
She was a great reoccurring and my favorite of all time, Crowley.
I tell you what, Crowley. When I didn't mean to cut you off,
but
when he first came into the scene, I'm like, and he's doing that kissing scene with the guy to make the deal. I'm like, who is this? But then, as you know, they built him up. That's one thing about Supernatural. They had a lot of seasons, but you get to build those characters, man.
Yeah.
You get attached to them. Like, and what happens to Crowley happens. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah, Mark Shepard, yeah, is who plays Crowley. And I love every episode he's in. Actually, he's now in Doom Patrol. And I remember watching it, and I was like, I just heard the voice in the background. And I was like, wait a second. It's Crowley. And I saw him. I was like, oh, that's awesome. But yeah, I mean, he's been everywhere. Firefly, Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, he's been everywhere, for him. But yeah, but I think he's one of my favorite ones. And he's one of the ones that has lasted very long. I mean, he was a bulk of the show.
Yeah, he was in
that. And then, of course, my favorite actor. But John Winchester, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan himself.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sir.
I mean,
oh,
Thomas Wayne himself he does a great job. I wish he had more time. And that's one thing. I mean, with the season or the show ending, and I was talking to, I have a coworker. She is a massive fan. Massive. I literally, to the point, the day I heard about it, I walked by her office and I just popped my head in and I was like, hey, I just want to say I'm sorry, and if you want to talk. And she's like, oh yeah, we're and she went off on a 5-minute tangent. It was I was like, well, I got to get back to my desk. And every time I tried to walk,
the funny thing about it is, Mike, I don't mean to, I mean,
no, go ahead.
But the funny thing about that thing is, if you read these articles online, they're like, Supernatural canceled after 15 seasons. The network didn't cancel them. The guys themselves, the three of them, Misha, Jared, and Jensen,
yep,
they're the ones who decided to end the show.
Well, I had read something that the head of the network was like, no, if these guys want it, they can continue to go as long as they want. They have freedom. And it was them and the writers, because 15 years, 14 years now, they've written about everything. They're running out of things to talk about without starting to repeat themselves.
Exactly. I mean, you can only fight heaven and hell so long. So how long many demons are you going to fight? And how many occults?
Yeah, and then
fight?
They what the
urban legends are out there.
The last couple of seasons, they've done what they did with the apocalyptic worlds or something like that. I'm still working my way up. I haven't gotten caught up, but it's like apocalypse worlds or something.
To me, I think it gets better. It's more the shit. I'm sorry. More the stuff that I like, you know, in the coming right. seasons.
Well, that's what I hear a lot. So, but that's the one thing. They're just like we've ran out. You have to put 22 episodes a year for 15 years. They've kind of told every story that they're probably going to tell. And then you look at they also tried to do the spinoffs of it. I mean, they had five spinoffs.
Actually five.
If you count. You have got Ghostfacers.
Oh, the Ghostface that was basically a web series for a
it
while.
It was, yeah.
I mean, but I wouldn't really count that.
You were talking about the you had Wayward Sisters,
which I thought would have worked. I wish they would have given that a chance.
Yeah, so do I.
That's the one I think could have worked. The other ones I didn't think were going to work at all.
There was the Supernatural animated series. I don't know if you ever watched that one. I did watch.
That was really good. Actually,
that one was pretty good. There was Supernatural Bloodline. That was back 2013. It was a backdoor. They were the 20th episode.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's the they wanted to introduce like the warring families.
Yeah, and I thought that one would have been good too. But I was surprised.
I didn't like that one. That's the one I knew was gonna fail.
I thought it would have been an interesting one just because it's grounded in one city, and it is a crime drama and almost a Godfather-esque. If they went with the right feel to it, and I think if they had the right characters, I don't think they had the right actors for the roles. But I think they could have gone deeper if they had like that Scarface Godfather kind of.
Agreed.
You know,
but, if you're gonna make a spinoff, you got to take basically the Cheers approach. That's what I call any kind of spinoff that wants basically cherry pick up another sitcom. Is Cheers, which led into Frasier.
Right.
And Frasier was on almost as long as Cheers.
Yeah.
So they took an existing character and they just basically added onto it. And that's what they did with Wayward Sisters. And that's why I thought out of all the spinoffs, that was going to be the one that's going to work. And if they would have thrown Bobby Singer in it, even better. But, at that time, Bobby was...
Bobby needed to stay with the boys. I'm sorry. He was their father figure, their grounded one. And he was us, he was the kind of that one that would look at what they were doing and like, really? That's okay. If that's where you're going. And the other one, they never really quite got it off the ground, but there was another one. This will be the fifth one, but Samuel Colt, they were going to, during the third season, they were going to do a prequel but it'd be based with Samuel Colt.
And then we're going to go back to the cowboy era.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot about
that. So there were about, like I said, there were five spinoff series. Some got some good footing. Others were just talked about. But still, they in a world filled with that much stories, I mean, they could have gone off and done anything. They could have gone off and done more angel-based stuff about what it was like in heaven, or more time. More time.
Yeah.
They could have. They have their abilities to go. And maybe, who knows, they might, pick it up if there is a big cry out.
If they do that, that's the series I want to see. I want to see the war in heaven.
Right.
Depends how they do. I mean, it could cost like a lot of money in special effects, but because they keep talking about that, the great war that happened,
yep.
Where Michael cast Lucifer down and his betrayal. That's always been like a big common backstory since season four, I believe, when they started introducing that. So
yeah, exactly.
And they've always introduced that world so small, because if you think about heaven and hell, that's a big, big concept. Angels, demons, God, the devil and all that. And they somehow made it where it's grounded into this one-hour TV show, and it doesn't seem like it's so overwhelming because, basically they don't show the angels' true form. They take vessels. Same thing with the demons. They don't show what they exactly look like, just black smoke going into other people's eyes, the black eyes and everything. They introduce all these blades and stuff, but they don't go too much. You see angel wings, but it's just like, it's like a little mention, different eye color changes. That's what I've always liked about the grounded level they kept that at.
Right, yep. So, and they finally reached, they broke a record that was held by one of my favorite shows that was held by X-Files, but they had the longest running live action American show for us, like fantasy style.
Yeah, unless you want to count Gunsmoke, but that was like, you
know, but I mean, but for fantasy style, which that's what X-Files had. They held on to that for 10 seasons. You know, had the record for 10 seasons, and when they hit 11, Supernatural hit 11, that's when they picked it up and carried that one. So they'll have that one for a while, because it's, I mean, that's a very big thing to be doing. I mean, to in this day and age, especially, to be able to hold the attention that long, you know, of a lot of people for 15 years.
Yeah, well, that series has gained more momentum over the years by the younger audience. You know, they go to every con, so every fan is going to be there to want to meet them. I mean, they're literally, if you go to YouTube, they're almost at every con every month.
Yep. And there's,
they're always spreading the joy. So it's like, you know what?
And they love their fans.
How can you hate those guys?
Yeah. They love their fans. They definitely get out there and, you know, just they really enjoy meeting the people out there. And it's not just them. Everybody does.
The whole cast. It's strange.
Even like your secondary ones, you know, your Chuck, you know, God, I've seen some of his, where they're out and about doing things with him and Misha. So they're definitely enjoy the fans, and they had fun. And we had fun watching them. It's been a blast, you know, watching, seeing what they're doing. My hope, and I don't know how you feel, but my hope for the last season is, and I know this is going to be kind of cheesy, but almost a cavalcade of who's who through the series. And I'd really like to see a true reunion of them and their dad.
Like for the whole season?
For the series, you know, the last season, I think the last season of the series should be a who's who of who's been there, you know, have
people. I think that's going to happen. I think everybody's going to come back.
Right. Yeah. Just have everybody come back, but have that moment of, you know, John being there, you know, if not John, Bobby, you know, to have that moment of.
I was going to say something.
Well, again, yeah, I'm still a few episodes or seasons behind, so
yeah, but that's why I don't want to say much. But
have that exclamation point to the whole series for 15 years, this is how it ends. And I think I would really hope, and I think they will. I have that strong belief that they're going.
I'm just wondering, you know, they've basically done God. They've basically done, you know, God's sister. How are you going to end it? Because you got to go out with a bang. You need something big. You can't go small in your final season.
No.
That's what I'm trying to think. I'm like, where are you going to go?
Well, like, there's a lot they can do. Go back to. Again, I don't know where they're at. That's my, I can't really give much on feedback because, like I said, I'm behind. So I don't know where they're at now. You know, if they're still doing these apocalyptic world things, and maybe they go back, to their place and their time, and but I just think a lot of the show should be nods, and you know you want it to end on the warm feel. I think if they don't end it on the warm feel, it goes complete apocalyptic and finally everybody dies, you know.
What you want to do, like the Angel series finale?
Everything goes to hell, you know, and and the last thing we see is we just see the Impala drive off by itself.
I've always thought about the Angel series finale, just to do it like that. That's one of my favorite series finales of all time, where, you know, Wolf, if you haven't seen it, spoilers. I mean, Angel's been off the air for like 10, 15 years, but, you know, Wolferman and Hart, the entire like law firm is basically a gateway to hell, I believe. And then basically the pit opens up and all these demons and dragons start coming out, and Angel's there with his buddies and everybody's saying, and the first thing he says, he's like, I got the dragon. And then the series just ends.
Nice. So,
you know, yeah, I don't know, a little nod to Angel, one of my favorite series out there.
But yeah,
kind of crazy. I was never a big Buffy.
I never watched Buffy or Angel, which is funny, is because I am a big fan of Josh Whedon.
That's crazy. I can't believe you haven't watched Angel.
Never seen. I've seen a few episodes here and there of Angel and Buffy, but I just never quite get into it. A huge fan of Firefly from Josh, and, you know, everything he's done on, you know, on the big screen. But just like those two, I just couldn't get into the world. I don't know if it was too. Too girly for me, I guess, at the time when they were on. So, and I mean,
if there's any one of them you should watch Angel, I think that'll be the one for you, because you know it's pretty good. Yeah. So what are your favorite episodes?
Favorite episode off my top of my head.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them were the one with Loki. A lot of the ones I liked with Loki. Probably one of my favorite ones, and it's probably a lot of people's, is when they actually get thrown into the real world and they have to play themselves.
Oh my god!
That's and they right. Everybody's like, "Why are you guys talking? You don't like each other." And them picking on Misha again. And I think the funniest thing is when they meet Robert Singer, the writer, and they look at him and go, he's a producer. Sorry, he was a producer. And they look at him and go, well, aren't you a pompous character? You named a character after yourself. Yeah. And it's one of those ones. It's like, I didn't realize it. I've been watching this show and I see his name on the credits all the time, but I didn't put two and two, because they always called Bobby, not Robert.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I didn't even realize that. But yeah, that was that one. And then, like I said, the ones with Loki were some of my favorite ones, because it just showed you just their humor. And then, I saw it a couple weeks ago when Dean has to do a spell to learn to speak to a dog.
Oh, that's hysterical.
That one is. And then he finds out it's not just a dog. He can hear all these animals.
Yeah, he's like the dog whisper.
The dog whisper. It's great. And then the very end, when the dog's like, well, we're really sent here to help you humans. Woof, woof, woof. Oh, the spell just wore off. I think a lot of those. And again, that's where, you know, when I asked you earlier, whose team are you on? I'm a Dean fan. You know, I think just his character and his humor is great. And
he's the no nonsense tough guy. I mean, you know,
and just Jensen Ackles as an actor, I was a fan of his back in Smallville.
Yeah, he was the
coach.
I think he was the high school coach. High school coach.
Yeah, he's the one that him and Lana were hooking up.
And that's when I think they killed him off, and then he wanted to do Supernatural after that.
That's about when he got moved over. Because he did something else before. I think he was like on some soap opera or something like that. But
yes, he was on a soap opera, according to that episode.
That's right. Yeah,
he showed like the little clips. And he was like,
ooh. But yeah, no, those are usually my favorite ones. Those, you know, and it's just, you know, with Cass also trying to learn human ways.
Yeah, Cassio, the fish out of water episode, is always pretty funny. The one where he's watching porn for the first time.
That one, yes, that is great.
And he's like making out with the demon. That's just, that's some good stuff.
So what about you? What about you on your favorite episodes or episode?
I like unlike you, the monster story of the week is always pretty good. But you know, once you've seen him once, you've seen him twice. You know, it's like, okay, I like more the mythology when they go to the angels and demon stuff.
Right.
Always been a fan, like the ending of season 5 Swan Song, one of my favorite episodes. There's another one, I think it's called Dark at the Moon, in season 5, where they're actually killed and they go to heaven, and you know, they're in heaven and they're seeing what's going on, and they're basically they're wandering around heaven and seeing what's happening. You know, and different type of mindsets and stuff. So, So anyway, those are my favorite ones. Especially when he's in heaven. I think Sam and Dean go to heaven and they get shot, and they end up going to this bar with their friend who was also dead, and they talk about the angels and the Lord. Basically, heaven is an idea that comes from your mind. It's almost like your greatest hits.
Right.
You know, heaven's, you know, they're like, you know, oh, you know, me and Sam and Dean or watching the fireworks this July, or, you know, your first kiss, or, you know, when I went to dinner, like, oh, my first dog.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool concept. You know,
because I remember later on in other seasons, when they did travel into heaven, Cass would meet other angels in other people's heavens. Like, you know, somebody's, you know, nice day at the park was somebody's, you know, one of the angels. It was like his favorite place to be, because he's like I just like being here.
Yeah. And and the angels had like the simplest heavens. There was nothing dramatic, you know, like at a pond or sitting in and watching a guy fly a kite.
Right.
Nothing dramatic. Yeah. But I always like those episodes like that. And Yeah. Anything to do with the angels too? When they introduced like a lot of the different angels coming out.
You know, well, I did like. I think with me, why I was a big Monster of the Week fan was one. You know, I was a huge, you know, massive X-Files fan, but I also grew up reading the urban legends, the local legends. You know, like those they used to have a bunch of books about, you know, just like locally or not just locally, but you know, around our country and around other places, you know, around the world. Basically, was, you know, just the urban legends and local legends. So when I started seeing a lot of those stories breaking into supernatural, that's I was like, okay, I like these little ones. I there were some of the big arcs I did enjoy. I think probably my favorite ones were the ones that you were saying, the angel and demon ones were, you know, some of the better, well written ones. And like I was saying earlier, was like, you know, the Word of God tablets and the Men of Letter seasons. I even like the beginning of the Mark of Cain, because I dug the dude that played Cain. I thought he did a great job, and I was like hoping I was hoping for more of him.
I thought they were going to show his brother, but I guess he got killed and stuff.
So. You guess? You've never read that book?
Yeah, I know. I've read it a couple times. But you know, they always bring
spoiler. Spoilers. I think Cain did kill Abel, but just to put that out there, if nobody's heard.
Well, I was just hoping they were going to bring him back in some kind of form. I don't know, maybe possessed by a demon.
You've had a few millennia to read the book, so I think we're off the spoiler timeline.
Spoilers: Abel is dead.
So, but yes,
Cain killed him.
so we're gonna end this episode with, you know, saying, you know, doing a somewhat fond farewell to the supernatural and to the Winchesters. Yeah, we do have one more season to enjoy. Or actually, a season and a half. Running in their halfway through their 14th season.
Yeah, they'll be done next month, I believe.
So they're probably way past the halfway part. So, you know, and it's CW's cleaning house right now. I mean, we have Arrow and Smallville going. That's and those are the like Smallville. You know, not Smallville. Wow, what I was thinking. I said Arrow and Supernatural, but nice. Supernatural was one of the last new show to come from WB into CW. They ran one season on WB.
Yeah, just one season.
Yeah, and then they don't. That's when they, you know, switched over. So, but yeah, they're cleaning house. So hopefully, you know, we'll see something more, something new. Hopefully, you know, the actors on there, we'll see them in other things. You know, it's gonna be kind of tough for them to branch out though. They might have been typecasted.
Do they really need to?
They probably really don't. 15 years.
15 years.
They can a friend of mine at work was saying that they can go ahead and con the rest of their life.
That's it, because they're gonna make money off syndication. Syndication is where it's at. I mean, it's already on syndication and TNT. So you go to the cons. I mean, they don't have to do anything.
Nope.
They're just gonna have checks coming in through the mail. That's it. They've done their time, so they could just sit there and do nothing. You know, go run a bar or something.
Exactly.
Like Dean wants, go run a bar, have fun.
Open up the Winchesters and just have supernatural crap all over there. Have the Impala parked out front. And
so anyway, like I was telling Captain Mike, one of my favorite seasons was season 4 and 5, when basically Dean comes back from hell, finds out that he is a chosen vessel of the Archangel Michael, and then season 5 is supposed to be him and Sam fighting as Lucifer and Michael, and their whole build up to that, Michael being the older brother, Lucifer being the younger brother. And we never actually got that fight. If you've ever watched the series, I mean, it does happen in a way, but spoilers, it's not Dean who fights Sam. It's, you know, but you have to watch the series. Like I was telling Mike, the whole heaven and hell angle compressed, anything to do with the archangels, I've always been big on the tablets, you know, God and all that. So it's definitely a series to worth watching. I mean, start from the beginning. It is a long ride. It's not even a weekend. It's more than a couple weekends.
This is not a binge watching weekend. This is a binge watching month. We have a friend, Irish Bobby. He and I have a competition on binge watching, and he is reigning champ right now. Cause he can just binge watch anything and just go and just, I won't see him for days, but he really wants to get into Supernatural. He's scared though because of the length of the series, and I was just like, you just got to put your toes in the water and just go. He's like, I'm afraid because I know I'm going to get hooked, and then it's a long. I go, do a season at a time, man. Season at a time. I was like, I've that's how I've done it. I'll do a season at a time. I'll do three seasons, take a break, come back, do a couple more seasons, take a break. I was like, but you'll just dive in. You'll enjoy the ride.
That's what I did with another series, Fringe. I just dove right in, yep. And I was the same way. But you know, that wasn't as long, but still, same thing, still yep. Concept. You know, binge watch it here and there, and just enjoy it.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, Irish Bobby is the champ. He holds the belt for binge watching because he can go. He just locks himself in his house, and we don't see him for a while.
Oh, hey. Not a bad thing to do.
No, sir. No, sir. So like I was saying before, actually, I do apologize, folks. I kind of dropped off. I had a small technical difficulty over on my side. Thank you, Kane, for picking up the slack there.
No problem, sir.
And so we are wrapping up this episode. And again, you know, to the Winchesters, good luck. And, you know, hopefully we'll see you. We'll see you on the road somewhere. Next week, we will be we're going to do two episodes next week. One we're actually going to do, if nobody knows, we Kane and I are wrestling fans, big time wrestling fans, and yes, WrestleMania, the show of shows for you know anybody that's into wrestling is happening this coming Sunday, April 7th. Get your WWE you know network
$9.99.
So they are they will, you know, we're going to be doing that. So we'll have a little one, a little episode post there. So kind of for you wrestling fans out there that want to check it out, you know, definitely listen into that. But we'll have another episode after that as well. We're still working on getting the midnight movie review. We want to try a couple of movies here. And we'll should have some reviews and some things on the up and coming Hellboy. And also at the end of this month, we're looking at The Avengers.
Endgame is only 26
days.
26 days. Endgame.
Yes, sir. So we'll have all that for you guys here shortly. So this was a little bit longer episode, but you know what? That's what we're here for. We like to drop off on our tangents. Luckily, Kane and I played nice today. So no fights today.
No fighting this week.
So, got anything for us today?
I think I'm good. Like I said, the Supernatural ending kind of sucks, but just enjoy it. It's on Netflix. Start from the beginning.
Yes.
Pay attention, because there's a lot of things you're going to miss that are going to be brought back in later seasons. But definitely watch it. It's been a staple for television for a long time, and it's kind of an end of an era. It's big, one of the biggest staples in CW, with this and Arrow now going basically... Infinite Crisis is wiping out a lot of shows. So
I didn't know Supernatural was a DC property, but hey, we'll go with that.
Hey, they're wiping the slate clean like the comics. So Supernatural's going, so is Arrow. So just enjoy it. And like Captain Mike says, we are on Stitcher, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe, feed, like, please share.
Spotify. Please. We are now on Spotify. So
and iTunes, too.
And iTunes, yeah. So basically, honestly, guys, the best way to get a hold of us to see what's going on, just go to the website, heroesasylum.com. That has links to our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, links to also, depending on your preferences for downloading or listening to the show, I have a link to all of the podcast directories for you there. So you just click, it'll take you straight to iTunes, straight to the, you know, our pages on Podbeam and just everybody. I also do uploading on the website as well. So you guys can listen to it from the website as also, but we always like to you guys, go ahead and subscribe. So that way you're catching our show like right when it drops every time we get that show out for you every Wednesday.
Ready for every Wednesday.
Yeah. So keep your eye out. Like I said, we will have some bonus shows here and there, you know, but right now that's every Wednesday's a guarantee. It's for every episode, but that's what we have. Like I said, heroesasylum.com, and that'll get you to where you need to be and get you into the asylum. We also have a comment section on there. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, say, hey, what's up, you know,
and we will answer it.
Yes.
We will answer it. We don't have like a webmaster who's going to answer us like robotically. It's me and the captain who are going to answer those questions automatically right away. Yep. So if you're going to curse me out, I'm going to curse you back. So that's pretty much it. It won't be a webmaster or an automated response. It'll actually be one of us.
Yeah. That won't be
just be careful.
That won't be a form cursing. That's going to be live and in person. So.
Yeah. So you're dealing with us. So.
All right, guys. Well, we want to thank you again, once again, for downloading, subscribing, and we will see you guys next week. The famous words of Stan Lee, Excelsior, and a nod to our friend John Schnepp. Sweaty United.
Get to the asylum.
Have a good weekend, folks.